Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio with me, and via the web, we have connected with the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad. That app actually includes Bubble Boy this week. He's not in the studio. He's connected via the web, as well as Pete from Scuba Board. Yeah. We got Barry the Bugger, Casey the Tobacco Nut, and Pete from Scuba Board.
Did we actually vote as a squad that he could join us on air?
That's a good question.
Well, there's a hazing ceremony that he's willing to go through. So
pretty hazy.
Bubble Boy, are you ready?
Yeah, we have a very easy group.
I'm ready.
Okay, bend over. So,
whoa.
Well, no, he has to get into his wetsuit.
Speaking about cave fingers.
Yeah. We're going to actually talk about cave diving or some elements of cave and cavern diving, which we ideally, CJ and myself and Jerry the Diver Guy, were supposed to already have our cavern course done with Dr. Doug Ebersol, but we had to postpone due to that friggin' hurricane thing a couple weeks ago. So we're still rescheduling that out. But Pete from Scuba Board is very familiar with that type of diving. So I figured we'd go a little deeper into some of the things that we may want to take into account. You were actually going to join us for that certification process as a cavern diver as well.
So he was spared. He was mercifully spared.
Well, he wanted to witness, I think, is what it is.
You guys are mercifully spared. I was going in there with my chuckle meter on full.
He has a chuckle meter.
He was going to point and laugh.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
People first go into caves,
yeah,
a lot of them make the same mistakes. Like cave fingers was mentioned earlier. That's one of the better mistakes that we get to see.
Cave fingers. So this seems like an illness or something, like the niggles.
The what?
The niggles.
What?
I don't think you could say that word anymore, Greg.
No.
I think you made that up.
No, it's not a thing.
It's a Harry Potter thing.
It's like a Saturday morning cartoon group, you know, like the Wiggles, the niggles.
Is this the fingers you give to your dive buddy when he silts out the cavern? Is that the thing?
You're saying you're number one? No.
I've never heard of that. Please explain.
If he has cave fingers, then he hasn't been silting out the cavern. One of the things you learn to do in a cavern and the subsequent cave courses is different means of propulsion. One of them, which is called the pull and glide, where you actually reach for very good rock formations and gently pull yourself along.
Okay. So, we got to put that in context, because when you say pull and glide and you're not talking about cave diving, it could be a whole different thing.
Well, actually, I sometimes do this in open water. I get close enough to the bottom, and if there's nice rock structures that are not living coral, then I don't mind doing a pull and glide there. It's a lot more efficient than kicking.
Right.
Especially if there's high flow, pulling and gliding into the cave against the high flow is a lot easier that way than trying to swim against the current.
Okay. All right. Okay. So literally just grabbing onto rock formations and pulling yourself through, that hole or whatever. Yeah.
And it's a big but. If you use the tips of your fingers all the time, then you know, sandstone, which is what we're diving through, that is going to wear them out, is going to wear off the tips of your fingers. thereby giving you cave fingers.
Cave fingers. And so it's like cave fingers. Well, cave fingers, is it an ailment, like your fingers get sore in its joints because you're pulling yourself through the rocks of a cave?
You cannot be fingerprinted.
It's like you've taken sandpaper and rubbed your fingers on it a zillion times to the point where they're starting to actually bleed.
Wow.
How does CJ know about that? You become anonymous. Yeah. Nobody knows who you are.
It's
like taking them to a cheese grater.
Yeah. No, however, CJ knows this, by the way, Barry. You brought that up because him and I have went through the written portion of our cavern course, and that is covered in some of the written material that you have to learn when you're trying to get your cavern certification.
That's why I'm wearing gloves.
I thought he was a fugitive or something like that.
Can't wear them in a cave.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't mentioned.
Yeah, it was. You failed that question, didn't you?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, you're a liar.
No, it wasn't. I remember that.
I vividly remember reading that.
Oh, boy.
You can't feel the line during a lights out drill with gloves on.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So you have to have bare fingers in order to be safe in a cave. Now, if you happen to get cave finger or your instructor suspects you have cave fingers, then you can expect to go to Hot Wings that night.
Ah, and that is why?
Because when those little delicate sanded off portions of your fingers touch those hot wings, it's just funny.
Okay.
Now, could you wear gloves that are fingerless so you still have them on the palms of your hands or no?
You can't wear gloves that are fingerless after you pass full cave. Until that point, you got to go on naturel.
Yeah, it sounds like something that the instructor wants all his students to have to buy the wings for that evening.
Yeah, that sounds like it would drill home that point. Like, yeah, you got to be a little bit more careful. Avoid those cave fingers.
Another common mistake is that people who go into caves have no idea about clipping and then securing lights so that they don't have danglies. We're used to being out in the open water where you can hook something and it can hang down 2 or 3 feet, and you just make sure you're 3 or 4 feet.
No, that's bad. You're not taught to do that in open water.
Yeah, you're taught to have everything tied in tight.
Yeah, so tuck it in.
You have a clip to yourself, but you use a bungee or whatever to make sure it stays close to your body.
Got it. Yeah, you want to be, you know, being streamlined is much more a necessity if you're cavern or cave diving, for sure.
It's efficient in the current.
The reason for that is the cavern line, the cave line you're following, will hang up on anything. I've seen it actually move a foot to grab someone. It leaps out at you. It tries to entangle you. When you're going through a cave, I always make sure if I'm close to the line that I have my hand put out and I'm actually touching the line, making sure it doesn't touch any of my kit. Because as soon as it gets close enough, it jumps out and it starts wrapping itself all over you. It's just that way.
It's like a spider's web just waiting to entrap you in its grasp.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you got to be extra careful. Now, just getting back to clarify, the niggles is actually a thing, too. I didn't just make this up.
What is the niggles?
That goes.
I looked it up on the Urban Dictionary.
You did? Okay, so what did it say?
It means to argue over petty things, like battling who gets the front seat or who has to take out the garbage.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop niggling.
That is not what it means. When it comes to decompression sickness, commercial divers sometimes suffer the niggles, which is like it attacks the joints in your fingers. It's kind of like one of the first or a symptom of decompression sickness. Yeah,
so it's back like arthritis.
Yeah, it is kind of a little bit.
They probably call it tinglies.
Yeah, well, niggles. They call it the niggles. You know who I heard that from the first time was from the shadow diver guys, Richie Kohler, John Chatterton. I heard them give a speech, and they were talking about how a lot of the commercial or deep divers that do a lot of tech stuff sometimes suffer from the niggles. And they say,
heard about it on the Dave Chappelle show.
No. Yeah, it was a totally different thing. It goes back to Barry's definition. So there
that's
you go.
Basically, I didn't, the beginning sign of the bends.
It is one. That is definitely one. More like I said, a commercial diver phenomenon because they're dealing with more extreme depths and things, and maybe it has something to do with repetitive decompression.
Now, does
diving.
It go away, or is that like a permanent condition?
No, it typically goes away. It's a mild form of decompression sickness, so it doesn't necessarily mean they got to go into a chamber, but it's a symptom that develops for commercial divers. Am I right there, Pete? You know about that, right? Pete?
Yes.
Okay, good. I thought I was going to be left out. Out the
I looked through three. I looked through three dictionaries. So I haven't found any definition.
You looked
close
at the wrong
that.
One.
So to summarize, ganglies, K fingers, niggles.
The niggles, yeah, you don't want any of those. None of them are ideal. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Power, simplicity, reliability. It's what you demand of your dive computer, and Shearwater delivers. Shearwater evolved out of one tech diver's need for a reliable, easy-to-use rebreather dive computer and quickly became the tech market leader. Now recreational divers have taken notice. The Shearwater Terek is the best, most intuitive, and reliable wristwatch-sized dive computer on the market. Check it out in the entire line at Shearwater.com. Shearwater. Dive computers for demanding divers.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio, and then connected via the web to Scuba Radio, Scuba Squad. And that includes Bubble Boy, Casey the Tobacco Nut, Pete
hello,
from Scuba
hello.
Board,
¿Qué
and
pasa?
Barry the Bugger, who is scoping out lobster as we speak. But look, we got to carry or cover, I should say, some viewer mail or catch up on it. A lot of listeners like to, you know, hey, What's going on, Greg? We have a question that maybe you and the Scuba Squad can address and educate me as well as the rest of the scuba diving community. So we're going to give it our best shot here.
I think you write these to yourself.
Lies!
I don't think they're real.
Hey, Greg, been a longtime listener, first-time caller or viewer, mail reader, writer. I think that's what he said. You are a genius. Okay, I could have taken a little editorial. No.
Poetic license there?
Yeah, maybe. This is from Craig.
Substitute moron for genius.
Yeah, okay. He's traveling to Aruba. Can you give me some pointers on checking my dive kit? I'll be flying Delta, and any info would be great.
Take whatever you want. Good luck.
Make
sure it has wheels.
What? Your dive kit? What do you mean?
Make sure your bag has wheels.
I agree with that.
Damn heavy hauling it through airports.
Well, that's true. That is true. You know, I'll give you a couple little tips that I follow, and then you guys can chime in as well. Well, first of all, I don't pack my dive gear in a dive bag when I'm traveling, especially, you know, on a long flight or anything. I pack it in a regular, like, hard shell, you know, typical, you know, Samsonite type suitcase that you would get at like Costco or something. And the reason is twofold. First off, the size, you can usually find the size that you need to throw your kit in there and some extra clothes and stuff like that if you're going to check your dive gear. The second thing is you don't want your bag to look like dive gear because it's usually a lot more expensive than a bag full of clothes. And if you pack a dive bag, any boogler is going to know immediately that it is dive gear worth literally, you know, several thousands of dollars.
Who would know that?
The boogler.
Question?
Yes, Barry.
Don't all those checked bags go through X-ray machines now so they would see what's inside anyhow?
Well, yes. Not the buglers, the regular security people.
Who in your mind is a burglar? Someone wearing a mask like a Lone Ranger mask?
No, like the Hamburglar.
And a striped from McDonald's. Suit, like you just escaped from jail in the 30s?
Yeah,
that like is a Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Can I disagree?
You disagree Please. With this idea? You don't want to disguise your gear and as a regular bag of luggage? Why?
No, first of all, I'm proud of being a diver.
Yeah.
Secondly, I have a mesh bag which drains everything, dries out beautifully, and I put everything in my mesh bag and it goes everywhere with me in the red mesh bag, and it's even got a dive flag on the side. When it comes through the carousel, it's obviously my dive bag. And you know what?
I'm the one who's going to
pick it up there. No one else is going to pick it up because everyone knows it's mine. It's got NetDoc on it. It's got Scuba Board on it. It's awesome.
Well, you are assuming that you and your bag are going to arrive at the destination at the same time. I've had this happen many times where that isn't the case. And if it looks like dive gear and it's in a mesh bag, it is very tempting for the boogler to want to get in there and grab something out of it. I'm just saying.
I've had my dive gear.
I will let you know from many years of dive travel that bags disappear between the cargo plane and the terminal also.
Yes.
Mine has never done that.
Well, okay. You know, so you can take that for what it's worth. I mean, you don't have to do what I say. I'm just saying what I do. And the other benefit of it is if you get a decent, you know, piece of luggage that have good set of wheels on it, your bag, you can get it through the terminal and everything when you're checking your bag and all that stuff much, much easier than, you know, dragging a backpack type of, dive gear bag as opposed to, you know, a regular piece of luggage. You know, they roll.
If you're changing planes and you have to run from one terminal to the far end of the airport,
mm-hmm.
wheeled bags make all the difference.
So
yeah, but you only need one wheeled bag. I put my gear on top of my other wheeled bag, and then I only have one bag to worry about. It all goes together with me. Tight little package, and I can run anywhere except I can't run because I'm still recovering from this freaking broken leg.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
What are you taking with you? What are you, mass fin, snorkel, computer,
regulator?
Yep.
Usually I have the tools to take all the ports out of my first stage, take off my second stage from my hose and stuff like that. I carry two universal diving tools that I can do almost everything I need to do with my reg while I'm gone.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, bring as much as you need, I guess.
No, don't bring as much as you need. Pare it down to the bare minimum. I have two tools, just two.
Yeah.
And they fit everything.
Okay.
When you're traveling, make sure to keep the miniature bottles in your carry-on.
Miniature bottles of what?
Rum, tequila, you need.
That's what I thought that's where he was going with that. Yeah. Good luck with that. because that's going to get confiscated more likely than not. These days, you're going to have trouble trying to get that on a carry-on. So I wouldn't advise
that. You know how
you
hide that stuff? Drink it.
You drink it.
Oh,
hold it in your stomach.
Aha.
No one will ever find it.
All right. There's that.
I believe you're allowed 3 ounces of carry-on alcohol, and that's it.
I don't even think you're allowed that anymore, are you? I don't think you can bring those little bottles.
It says so on my TSA. I have the TSA pre-check app, and it's one of the things.
It says you can bring those little bottles up to 3 ounces.
A little mini, but just like one. I think you can bring one. That's it.
That's the point. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, back to the dive gear thing, though. I mean, the other element would be, or tip I would share, if you're gonna check your bag of dive gear, whether you're using a dive bag or a piece of luggage and throwing your stuff in there, if you're really, you know, concerned about your gear, you know, do your regulator and Computra and a carry-on and just leave your BC, you know, in the check bag.
I have an idea. If you want to be left alone and have no one sitting next to you,
wear it.
When you board the plane, make sure you have your snorkel in your mouth. And then as you get checked in, just go, just in case.
Nothing like instilling confidence in the fellow passengers.
They'll think you're nuts.
Yeah, good point. You might get the
trust me, it works.
Seat next to
I'm
you.
I'm not traveling with you guys.
They're gonna give up their seat. You're gonna get a whole row to yourself.
That's right.
Possibly even handcuffs. There's that. Sorry, that's just what happens when you ask us for advice. So take it for what it's worth, which probably ain't a whole lot, but maybe you picked up a nugget or two. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio with me, and he keeps giving me grief about the niggles. Like, you think I just
Greg,
made up this
just
term.
Makes me nervous.
Pete from Scuba
Board. Clarification.
You have a clarification about the niggles and what it is.
I have a clarification from the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah.
It's a verb, and it's a slight but persistent annoyance, discomfort, or anxiety. And right beside it, there's a picture of CJ.
Aha! That explains it.
Oh.
Yeah. Now you had me up until laughing. The anxiety part. I mean, the first part of your definition actually sounded legit.
Actually, it's from Oxford.
Okay.
Oxford Dictionary. We'll that's go with what that. I've always, because, you know, we've always talked about in my family about having a niggle in the throat. It means you had a little discomfort, a little eh.
Yeah. Well, that's how these commercial divers describe this getting, getting the niggles in their in the joints of their hand and their fingers, that it's annoying. It's not enough for them to go get a chamber treatment, but it's kind of like a symptom of frequent commercial diving.
God, can you imagine
accept.
If you had the niggles at the same time you had cave fingers? Woo!
Oh my gosh, that would hurt. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't hurt. You wouldn't feel it.
No, you would feel it. It'd be a slight annoyance.
Don't your fingers go numb though?
Joints. It's pain in your joints.
Yeah, but once you grab the hot wing, you'll know you have K finger.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Right. You'll be able to distinguish the whether it's
damn good. These useless hands.
Okay.
I wonder if the niggles are related to, you know, how they say decompresses things, you get the bubbles under your skin like Rice Krispies.
Well, no, you mean skin bends. Different. Yeah.
But it's in the tips of your fingers.
It's no. not the tips. It's in tips. The joints. The,
it feels
the,
like arthritis. It's probably like arthritis.
Exactly.
Where a general malaise. You know, I suffer from arthritis all the time. My hands are I was a mechanic for 30 years. Mm. My hands are kind of worn out.
Yeah.
You know, I got permanent niggles in my hands.
So you were like
Wait,
a knuckle
go back to the Rice Krispies under your skin. What's that all about?
Skin bends. Okay, we'll talk about
I've
that
never heard
next.
Of that.
Really?
Ooh. We're going to educate Barry the Bunker.
Snap, crackle, pop.
World's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Time now for Scuba Radio's forgotten acronyms in diving history, FADH, or as we like to call it around here, FAD.
Divers Receiving Underwater Navigational Knowledge of Scuba. Drunks.
This has been Forgotten Acronyms in Diving History, FAD. On Scuba Radio.
Yes, it is. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio with me. You knew that already.
I do not even remember doing that. Well, and see, sometimes I don't know what it is. I'm completely confused.
Well, sometimes we have to, you know, we need a refresher.
We need refreshments.
Possibly, according to that, if you want to have the proper acronym.
We must have refreshments.
Yeah. So there you go. That's something you can use or file away and forget promptly. Yeah. Or you could learn what how did you call it again? What the crispies? The skin crisps?
Rice crispies under your skin?
Rice
crispies.
What's that all about?
It has a name, you know.
Yeah, one of the first signs of the bends is the nitrogen builds up just under your skin. And you can literally kind of chase it up and down your arm. It sounds like Rice Krispies just got milk, but there's a little crackling sound.
Ew, so they're like pork rinds.
So you have somebody that's rubbing their arm or feeling their arm, and you can hear that sound. It's nitrogen under their skin.
Wow.
It's bubbles under their skin.
Bubbles.
Not just nitrogen. It's called subcutaneous emphysema.
You sure they're not aliens? You sure they're not aliens wearing human skin?
Say it again, Barry.
You sure they're not aliens wearing human skin and it's just a little loose?
No, I think you're stuck back on the whole drunk thing. Regardless, no, you're talking about the skin bends, right, Pete? That's
well, there's two ways of getting gas under the skin. One is it's a type of age, arterial gas embolism, where the gas actually appears under the skin, and the other is. So a pneumothorax, where it goes right through your pleural cavity and gets into under your skin and goes that way.
Okay. The second one would be the skin bends. The first one would be that snap, crackle, pop thing Casey's talking about, I'm guessing, right?
Both of those would be the skin bends.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
both sound like Rice Krispies when you brush over them.
They do. Okay.
They're both painful, and you both should call Dan,
right?
And you both should get to a hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the pneumothorax is my favorite Dr. Seuss character.
Yeah, that's
love that book.
That's not accurate.
The pneumothorax.
So the thing is it's a symptom of having decompression sickness. First off, so it's not correct. Good. Regardless,
you're getting it,
and it's you know, it can be to various degrees. So. You know, if you have a rash and you don't have that popping sound that Casey was referring to, you may have a very mild form. But yeah, it's definitely something that they're going to pay attention to.
It's bad
on the boat, and they're going to look at you and say, "How bad is this?"
Get them on oxygen.
Get them on oxygen. Don't let them dive for the rest of the day. Say if you're on a liveaboard or something. Keep an eye on diving.
If you get bent, no more diving.
Well, I mean, it's
bad.
It kind of depends on the situation, I think, doesn't it?
I mean, you don't want to dive with that.
Just don't go diving again.
Well, no, I agree. But I mean, it's not necessarily.
See a doctor first.
If you get a mild form of the skin bends, that doesn't mean, like, say, if you're halfway through.
Well, it can be reabsorbed. It's not necessarily a drastic problem, but it is an alert that you're bent. You've built up too much. Gases.
Right.
If you have actual bubbles under your skin, you've done some physical damage to the skin. Let me tell you, you're not going to want to put anything on there. It's going to be painful.
Yeah, I think you want to err on the side of caution, be safe, and just not die.
Well, of course.
Treat it seriously.
But what I'm saying, of course you're treating it seriously, but I
think you're joking around.
No, Mr. I'm saying just setting up a scenario. If you're halfway through a liveaboard trip, they're going to look at how severe the case is and are there any other symptoms, and they're going to talk to Dan and everything, and that would determine whether or not, hey, do we need to medevac this person out to a chamber or not? Probably
not if you have those simple of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're having more of a life endangering symptoms, like you're throwing up, or you're delirious,
right? Well, or pains in your joints,
sure, let's get you off the boat. Even pain in the joints. You know, if you're on oxygen, those are probably going to dissipate, and you can deal with them when you get home,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Of course, severe pain in the joints, get out of there.
Of course, But that's the folks on the dive boat are going to be fairly aware of that too, and they're going to talk to Dan hopefully and stuff. But I'm saying, it just as far as on the scale of symptoms, the skin bends is one of the first or low end symptoms.
Yes.
Kind of like the niggles is what it's the same kind of thing for commercial divers. They don't treat the niggles as something that they, I got a little niggle thing going on here today after my day of diving. They're not automatically going to go to a chamber. At least that's what they've told me.
No, they're probably not going to dive again tonight.
The most common symptom of DCS is actually being overly tired.
Well, could be. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And you could have what we call subclinical DCS, where it's not enough to go to the doctor, but you kind of know that you didn't do a long enough safety stop,
mm-hmm.
or you came up too fast or whatever. And it should be a sign, hey, if I got the sleepies after diving, then maybe I should make that a 5-minute safety stop instead of a 3.
Right.
Maybe I should, be a little bit more gentle after I get out of the boat, get out of the water onto the boat. People want to do all this stuff. They want to be active when they get out of the boat. Well, they should sit down and relax.
Chill.
And off gas.
Right. They should. And I don't want to downplay the symptoms. Don't get me wrong. If you get the skin bends, that can be very serious, and you should have it treated. And if you can get to a chamber, get to a chamber. But I'm just saying, in the big scheme of things, I think that's on one of the lower scales of severity is my point. It might be a symptom for like the first onset symptom, and then you're going to get worse and worse, and God forbid, you need to get it treated immediately. But once again, you call Dan. And
it is a sign that will alert you that something is wrong, and then take the proper steps.
You can have a rash that looks exactly like the skin bends simply from not putting enough air into your dry suit. And I've done this, because when you're down deep, and you have no air in there, it's just like it actually feels like it's pulling the air out of your skin, and it's very painful and will leave you with a horrible rash.
Hmm. I've never heard of dry suit rash, but there's that. There's sea lice that get trapped in your neck joints and things like that.
Oh, sea lice.
But you'll know. You'll feel that when they get in there.
Sounds like mask squeeze.
For a dry suit, maybe.
A lot like mask squeeze.
Suit squeeze. It's suit squeeze.
Yes, it is. Say that 3 times fast. No, don't. Now, please don't.
Greg, how many times have you worn a dry suit?
A couple times. I've done it.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah. Us Florida divers, we're jaded in that regard. And, when you got to put on all this extra gear, I mean, I don't like even putting on a wetsuit, let alone a dry suit. But I'll tell you, if you're diving in a cold water environment, you have a dry suit on, it's pretty remarkable. And you're kind of like, wow, this is possible. You can dive.
You would be remarking about it.
That is true. And, but it's pretty amazing how cold you can, how cold the water can be, and you can still dive in it. But, when I did that, I was in a lake or a quarry up in the Chicago area. And I thought, this is going to really suck. And the thing is like the middle of July when I did it, but I got all this gear on. It took about 30 minutes to get all the gear on. And by the time I had it on, I was sweating. I was like, this is really way too much work. You got all this extra weight on you. And now you're hot. You're like, I want to cool off. And then you jump in the water and you finally, you cool down a little bit, and it's fairly comfortable.
What was the water temp?
It was like in the 60s or something. Oof. It was pretty cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
are you guys going to use a dry suit when you do your caving?
Nope.
Not the plan. I was just planning to do a 3 mil with an extra layer over my torso, like a shirt, neoprene extra shirt under it. So I'd
what about your head?
And a beanie.
I will
watch cap. You will
in swimsuit.
Really? You won't wear anything in a spring at 72?
When you're built like a manatee, you get to dive like a manatee.
Oh, okay. So a la natural. You just you actually go free bowling in the springs.
Bowling?
Free bowl, yeah.
It does freak a number of people out there when they see me go on a 3.5-4 hour dive without a dry suit, much less a wetsuit.
Yeah.
They're shivering and I'm fine.
I can do about 30 minutes at 72. And then after that I'm like, okay, I gotta put something on. More than a 3 mil or
I'm with give myself you. I'm a doing good. A 3 mil wetsuit, rash guard underneath, and a hood, full hood.
Hood will make a big difference, but just an extra, something with some heat on it, like a heated rash guard would be the way to go. There,
yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah, I got one.
You'll get a rash.
Yeah, well, then you get a rash, and we're back to the skin bends. No, I.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Power, simplicity, reliability. It's what you demand of your dive computer, and Shearwater delivers. Shearwater evolved out of one tech diver's need for a reliable, easy-to-use rebreather dive computer and quickly became the tech market leader. Now recreational divers have taken notice. The Shearwater Terek is the best, most intuitive, and reliable wristwatch-sized dive computer on the market. Check it out in the entire line at Shearwater.com. Shearwater. Dive computers for demanding divers.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Saba St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks, new destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This place is completely freeing. Would you believe that today I dabbled in public nudity? Daphne and I found a secluded cove on the beach. We shed our garments and surrendered ourselves to the sand, the sea, and one rather curious grouper.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ is in the studio with me and connected via the web. We have the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad. That'd be Barry the Bugger, Bubble Boy, Casey the Tobacco Nut, and Pete from Scuba Board rounding out that group of divers. All right, so, whether it's the skin bends or, feeling a little fatigued, during the commercial break, Casey was saying, well, I feel kind of tired. I can use a nap right now. That's just listening to the show, Casey. That has nothing to do with diving.
That's because
you're wondering, because I was getting more and more exhausted. My head was, guys, you're getting heavy. And
yeah. That's just what we do.
That's just Greg wearing you out. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We consider Scuba Radio often is considered a sleep aid.
Sure.
For many listeners. Regardless, one of the other elements that CJ was going to do during our cavern course, he was also going to get certified as a nitrox diver. Knock that one off the list.
Yep.
And one of the benefits of nitrox, at least anecdotally, you hear this, but it's been kind of debunked for the most part, is that diving nitrox gives you a little more energy, or you're not as tired after a day of diving. Pete, back me up on that. That's been kind of debunked, right? Or people or what do you think?
It has and it hasn't. It's if you have less nitrogen in you to begin with, then you have to get less nitrogen out.
Right.
If you're doing dives that are being limited by how much gas you have, not by how length of time you're down, then yeah, you're going to feel a little bit better being on nitrox.
In theory, that is in theory, that if you have less nitrogen, you have to off gas, that your tissues had to work less, your body had to work less, so you would feel maybe less, less worked out, so to speak.
If you have less nitrogen in your body, you feel less tired. Because I said, feeling exhausted is a clinical, subclinical DCS. So if you're not feeling tired, this means you don't have as much nitrogen in you. That's pretty normal.
Well, the main part of when nitrox first came out was when I was instructing, it was guided towards us because we were making so many multiple dives,
right,
trying to keep the nitrogen level or the nitrogen level down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the oxygen.
And I will tell you that after multiple dives, not having to sit on the bottom and decompress and things, you felt better. You felt like you had more energy, whether it was true or not.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's kind of anecdotal. They've done some studies on it, and they haven't been able to supposedly, prove that indeed you feel better after nitrox. A lot of people swear by it. And like I said, in theory, it makes sense because you think, well, if you have less nitrogen putting into your body, therefore you have to off gas less. Your body has to work, doesn't have to work as hard to do that. Maybe you would feel better.
So do you still do your standard safety stop or no?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You do the standard. But the problem is, well, not the problem, but off gassing isn't really a physical activity. We breathe.
Quit that.
We're going to.
Hello.
Well, CJ off gases more than others.
It wasn't necessary.
He has more gas than the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
That was either you or the secretary.
So it's why it would make you more or less tired makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Again, nitrogen in your body makes you tired. If you have less nitrogen in your body, you're going to be less tired.
Right. But once again, they haven't been able to prove it, though. That's the problem.
But I have yet to hear anyone say, oh, no, I feel just as tired after diving nitrox as I do air. I haven't heard one person ever say that. No. I've heard only the other way.
Well, then I'm going to be in really good shape.
It's all in your head.
I don't usually get tired after just regular air.
Well, unfortunately, Pete, you are correct. I would
it makes
agree
sense.
With you.
It makes
total sense. But once again, they have not been able to prove this.
Disprove it.
Well, true. Exactly. But that's why I say it's kind of anecdotal. They haven't been able to actually show that there's any scientific proof that nitrox exactly does give you more energy or you don't feel as washed out. It's more like just what people experience and how they say they feel. But
now I have a question for Pete.
Sure.
Pete, with nitrox, you basically have to make that gas combination per the depth you're going and your weight and your situation. If you go shallower than that, didn't you just kind of waste a nitrox fill?
No.
Mm-mm.
Again, less nitrogen in your body is always a plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when I dive my rebreather, my setting, my percentage of oxygen actually moves up and down. My partial pressure of oxygen stays the same. And so I actually get the full benefit of having planned the right nitrox for every depth I'm going, and it's flexible. My machine and I make sure that I have the best mix, and I come out of that feeling great. In addition, in the cave, they breathe so much warmer that it stops me from getting cold quicker. you know, because of that rebreather.
Why? Is it warmer air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because when you breathe in, that expanding gas from the tank cools. When I'm breathing the same pressure, and it's, I've already heated it with my body, so I just keep heating it. Yeah. So I have a lot warmer air that I'm breathing than you are on open circuit.
More bottom time, longer dives. It's definitely something to consider if you're into the whole rebreather thing and want to commit to it. It is quite an experience. All right, look, we got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck and more coming up with CJ, myself, and the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.